Today's lesson is, what does the Bible say? It's a remarkable, simple lesson, and don't expect anything that's very, very complex. Old Brother Gus Nichols used to say, said, young men, when you preach, and I know that's, you're looking at my age, you know, that's got to be 150 years ago that he said that. But he said, young men, when you preach, put it down there where the calves can get it. The cows will find it. And I really love that concept of preaching. Let's just make it as simple as we can so that even a child, you know, will be able to understand what we're talking about. Here's the lesson. What's the Bible say? Look at Isaiah chapter 8, and I want you to hear the impact of these words, because there was this time in Isaiah's day when, well, early in the book, they're described people drawing nigh to God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And so they're trying to find God, but what was that old song many years ago? They're looking for Him in the wrong places, something like that, at least a paraphrase of that song. And they weren't able to find them. And so in verse 19, there were those who were saying, if you really want to find God, you've got to get over to the mystical part of it. And so there are these wizards and there are these mediums. And another problem they had, obviously, was the matter of idols. Idols and the prophets and prophetesses of the idols that were a part of that land. And they said, look, if you want to really find God, here's where you're going to find Him. And by the way, isn't that where we are today sometimes whenever people say, well, we've got the Bible, but we've got to look extra curricula to try to find God and to find His will. And listen to these words and write this concept on your hearts, if not these very words. To the law and to the testimonies, if they do not speak according to this word, the law and the testimonies, it's because there's no light in them. We're living in an age where people are sort of, even religious people, even some who wear the name Christian, are trying to find God, and they're trying to find Him in their emotions and their feelings. And so some topic comes up and they've said, well, you know, I really just don't feel like God would do that. Or sometimes in a very non-manifestation from God at all, but just in an imagination in their heart, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and here's what God's Spirit has told me about these things. Look at verse 20. At a time when people were trying to get away from God, Isaiah says, you've got to go back to the law. You've got to go back to the testimonies. And any of those who are not speaking according to the law and to the testimonies, it is because there is no light in them. Now, you want to flip that? If we are speaking according to the law and the testimonies, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walk in the light, you know, as He is in the light, you know. Here's all of these verses that are there, and it all starts right here inside this book. I want to show you this is what Jesus did. People often came and asked Jesus questions. How did He answer them? Whenever they were coming to Jesus and they brought some question to Jesus, how did Jesus answer them? Did He say, well, why don't you just look inside and maybe pray to God, and God will give you some sort of holy hunch, and the Holy Spirit will put some idea in your mind. That's the way you're going to find. Or go find some learned person. Why, here's a person that's published hundreds and thousands of books. And you'll find God better in the writings of these books than you'd ever begin to find God inside the Bible. That's not what He did. They came and they said to Jesus, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And what a great study, by the way, David's been teaching on this matter of marriage and divorce in our Sunday morning services. And they came to Jesus and they said, what about this? And Jesus said, in Mark's account, what did Moses command you? You tell me what was there. And he looked at that and he said, this is what Moses said. He was pointing them to the law and to the prophet, but then he even went back before Moses. And he goes back to the book of Genesis and he says, Have you not read how from the beginning God made them male and female and said a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife and they'll become one flesh and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Jesus, tell me what your will is. You know what he said? Pick up the book. To the law and to the testimonies. And if it's not according to the law and the testimonies, then there's no light that is involved in this. Jesus, the light of the world. The Bible says, in him was light, and without him there was no light at all. What does the Bible say? And that's the whole design of the lesson. But let me tell you, it's the design of your life. When you're trying to make moral decisions about how should I treat this other person? What should I do in this circumstances in life? I'm being sorely tempted in this part of my life. What shall I do? And Isaiah comes back and says, if you want light, the only place you're going to find light is in the law and in the testimonies. And so Jesus used the scriptures. And just think of how many times he pointed to the scriptures. Here's the whole point we're trying to make. To answer Bible questions. Guess where you're going to find the answers? All you've got to do to answer Bible questions is to go and say, what does the Bible say? Now, when that happens, you've got two choices. You can, perhaps, try to negate what the Bible says by saying, boy, that sure is hard to understand. And sometimes there are hard things to understand of the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in the Scriptures, and mentioned specifically Paul's writing there, he spoke of many things that are hard to understand, which ungodly men will take and twist and distort. But look at that carefully. Not only do they distort the hard things, they distort the simple things. And so the distortion is not coming from the fact there are hard things to understand in the Bible. It comes from a heart that reads the Scriptures and says, I don't want to do that. And so that's what happens a lot of time when it comes to answering Bible question, is to say, well, that's just so hard to understand. Now mark this in your mind. The things most important for our salvation are the plainest statements to be found in the Word of God. I want you to get that in your head. When it comes to the matter of our eternal salvation, those things are not found in verses that are difficult to understand. And we'll illustrate that a little bit later in this lesson. And so for an individual to come and they say they find something in the Bible, they'd say, well, that's just too hard to understand. They need to back away and to recognize that while there are things hard to understand in the Bible, even that passage does not say they're not understandable. They're just more difficult. Takes more study. The other one might be to say, well, how do we know about all the translations and things of that nature? That's a totally different topic. But can you imagine the God giving the law and the testimonies and not protecting the law and the testimonies? Can you imagine God giving the Ten Commandments and then let Moses lose some of them and he comes down, he's only got nine when he gets to the bottom of the mountain? Can you imagine that? Or here's the other writings of Moses. Can you imagine God going to all the trouble to give all of the revelation of the Bible and then God himself to say, well, man, I lost some of that. I messed up, didn't I? That's folly. Every one of thy righteous precepts endures forever. I want you to hear that. That's the words of David in Psalms 119. And you only got 176 verses. You won't find it. Just read the whole chapter. But every one of thy righteous precepts endures forever. Isn't that remarkable? You believe that? One jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You see, you and I need to understand that God gave us the law and the testimonies, and when we are confronted by the law and the testimonies, the only other thing we can do is, and this is harsh, a harsh way to say it, is to make ourself and our will greater than God and His will. When I read the law and the testimonies, and there is in the law and the testimonies in the Word of God, when I read what the Bible says, and I think my heart says, I know it says that, but I don't believe that. All I have done is elevated my mind above the mind of God, and I, in that sense, have become God of my life. Now let's develop the lesson. We're just going to ask 8 questions this morning. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say in reference to the question, can the Bible be understood? Can it? Well, let's look at 2 verses. Let's go to the law and to the testimonies and see if the Bible can be understood. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Who said that? God said it. In the law and the testimonies of God, God said what? Direct, positive command, understand God's will. Is that hard to understand? Look at another verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says, by revelation God made known to me the mystery. There were those holy apostles and prophets, and Paul, as a prophet, says that God has revealed to me things that were unknowable, things that were not known. They are a matter of revelation, and God has revealed these things unto me. Now look at the rest of it. As I wrote afore, briefly, whereby, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Do you think Paul understood the mystery of Christ? The law and the testimony says that by reading it, you will be able to understand what Paul understood. Can the Bible be understood? What do the law and the testimony say? Second question, will a good God throw anybody into hell? You know how widely that is believed? I believe in God, but I don't believe He'll throw anybody into hell. What does the book say? Not what do learned men or wizards or mediums, not what do some feelings that I have inside that's in, because the book says, the law and the testimony says, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. And all of a sudden I come to a critical issue and I'd say, well, I just don't believe that God would do that. All that is an affirmation. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. You know why? Because what does the Bible say about that? That's the issue. Will a good God throw anybody into hell? To the law and to the testimonies. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament, but I sure love Jesus. Jesus was such a loving person. I really like, hang on a minute. These are the words of Jesus. And I will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into a place of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What do the law and the testimony say? Look at Revelation chapter 20, and we'll not look at all of the verses, 12 through 15, but just parts of it, where John sees a great white throne, and he sees one sitting on the throne, and there is the book of life that is brought out, and there are the books of the Bible that are brought out, and the dead are judged according to the things written in the books. The works that they've done on this earth are going to be measured by the things that are written in the books. And verse 15 says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Imagine somebody arrogantly having read these to say, "I don't believe a good God would do that." Then God lied. And you're the truthful person. Third question, will most people be saved? Well, good God wouldn't cast anybody to hell. The corollary of that is, well, almost everybody knows they're good folks. Most folks, most Americans are good folks. I believe most folks can go to heaven. To the law and to the testimonies. What do the Scriptures say? The Bible describes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, of the Lord who will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that hard to understand? That when He comes to be glorified in His saints, that He's coming to take vengeance on people who have not obeyed God and those who do not know God. But there's one even more specific than that. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 that says, "Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Listen to this. "And many there be that go in thereat." Many will go in that broad way that leads to destruction, wherein is found the vengeance of fire that Jesus is going to bring. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 14. "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, there are few that find it." Well, I believe most folks are going to be saved. Then God lied. And you want me to listen to you instead of listening to the law and to the testimonies? Well, what about God will accept anybody if they're religious? That's widely believed. To the law and to the testimonies. What do the law and the testimonies say about God, God accepting anybody of every religion? Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Well, look how devout, and then you hear all of these things that are hating. Did you see the statement the Pope made within the last month, that even atheists, if they'll just live by whatever conscience they have, they'll be saved and acceptable to God? Hello? The concept that all Buddhists and all Muslims and just as long as they're sincere and devout to whatever God they know, they'll be all right with God. To the law and the testimonies, no man, not a single one, comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And somebody says, "I don't believe that." Then God lied. But look again. "Many will say to me in that day," Matthew chapter 7, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?" These are folks who are wearing the name Christians. They're out doing mighty works in the name of Jesus. What are they claiming to do? "In the name of Jesus, we're casting out demons. In the name of Jesus, we've done many wonders in the name of Jesus." Christian folks facing the Lord on that day. All Christian religions, God will accept all of them. "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things in your name?" And Jesus will say to them, Depart from me, I never knew you. You are lawless. You're living outside the law. You see, verse 21 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of the heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Lawlessness is living outside the law, to the law and to the testament. To the law and the testimony. And if a man does not speak according to the law and the testimonies, there is no light. The light says, many who have been Christians will hear the Lord say to them, or at least claim they were Christians, I never knew you. You're lawless. Why? You were not concerned about the law and the testimonies. And if that's not true, then God is a liar. Look again. Does it make any difference how you worship God? Just worship Him any way you want to, just as long as you're sincere. How anyone could arrive at that when there are verses in the Bible that talks about a man eating the Lord's Supper and not discerning the Lord's body, and while he is eating the Lord's Supper, he's eating and drinking damnation to his soul. Well, you can worship God any way you want to. Well, go back to the first time any individual's worship. Genesis chapter 4 says, it came to pass in the process of time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the fruit of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his sacrifice, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. You can worship God any way you want to. Tell Cain that. And a multitude of illustrations of this could be found in the Scriptures. But the first time anybody ever worshiped God, does not God settle it that I do not arbitrarily have the right to decide how I'm going to worship God? And if you don't believe that, ask Cain. And no wonder Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 23, the hour is coming in which true worshipers, what does that imply? False worshipers. The hour is coming in which true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's looking for people who will worship Him according to truth. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17 says. And verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and that we worship God with our spirit. He's a spiritual being, and it's our spirit that worships Him. But we worship Him according to truth. Thy word is truth. The law and the testimony says true worshipers worship according to truth with their spirit. What do false worshipers do? Oh, you can worship God any way you want to. What do the law and the testimony say? And if it's true you can worship God any way that you want to, then God lied. That's serious. What about this matter of salvation? Is a person saved by faith only? You and I need to understand that we are saved by faith. But are we saved by faith only? Look in John chapter 8. We look at four verses in John chapter 8, verse 30, 31, 42, and 44. John 8, verse 31 says, as Jesus spake these words, many believed on Him. Verse 32, He turned to those who believed on Him, and He said, if you abide in My word, the law and the testimonies, if you abide in My word, you're My disciples indeed. Now here are believers in Jesus. Look in verse 42 where He says, if God were your Father. And verse 44 says, you are children of the devil. That individual who says at the moment a man believes in God, he's a child of God, is not saying what the law and the testimony say. Jesus said to those who believed in Him, you are children of the devil. That's what the law and the testimony say. And for one to say, that all you need to do in order to have a relationship with the Lord is to believe in the Lord, if that's true, then Jesus is a liar. Jesus is a liar. And the only time the expression faith only is found in the entire Bible, I want you to hear this. One time the expression faith only is found in the Bible. What does it say? James chapter 2, verse 24. You see how that a man is justified by works, talking about obedience. How a man is justified by works and not by faith only. To the law and the testimonies. If we do not speak according to the law and the testimonies, there's no light in us. And if a man is saved by faith only, then God is a liar. Look again. Is baptism a part of God's plan of salvation? The Lord wants to save everybody. Where does baptism fit in relationship to this? To the law and the testimonies. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Is that hard to understand? Who shall be saved? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I believe a man could be baptized or believe and not be baptized. He'd be saved to the law and the testimonies. The law and the testimony say that he who shall be saved is the he who believes and is baptized. Look at Acts 2:38. Those who had crucified Jesus and were and had become believers in Jesus as a result of Peter's preaching said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've killed the Son of God. What must I do in order to have God remit my sins? In order to have God forgive me of my sins? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. To the law and the testimonies. And finally, Acts 22:16, Paul, who saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, going into the city to learn what he must do with the blood of the saints all over his hands, guilt in his heart because he had been persecuting Christ, not knowing what to do about the mistakes that he'd made in his life. Ananias comes to him because the Lord said, when you get in the city, you'll find out what you must do. And Ananias says, arise and be baptized. And wash away your sins. The whole verse, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The washing away of sins in the blood of Jesus is tied to Paul arising and being baptized. And if Paul's sins, my sins, and your sins are washed away without an individual being baptized, then you cannot trust the law and the testimonies. For the law says, the he that shall be saved is the one who believes and is baptized. The law says that the person who has the remission of sins is he who repents and is baptized. And the law says that he who is washed in the blood is he who has arisen and been baptized. Final question. Can a child of God be lost? A doctrine widely believed, started perhaps more by John Calvin and those who followed his writings more than anyone else. Talk about the security of believers and once saved, always saved. Can a child of God be lost? To the law and the testimonies. Hebrews chapter 3. Beware, brethren, Christians, children of God. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, universal in application to the brethren. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Can a believer become an unbeliever? For he who believes not shall be condemned. Mark 16, 16. The law and the testimonies? Brethren, any of you can depart from the living God. What about James 5? James 5 says, brethren, Christians, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know he who turns a sinner, that brother who has wandered away from the truth, a sinner from the error of his ways, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. The death? Not physical death. Everybody's going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. But here's a soul that I'm going to save from death. If that brother turns away from the truth and I convert him, I save his soul from death. That lake of fire is described, Revelation 2, 2014, as the second death. That's what I'm keeping him from. To the law and to the testimony. Can a brother turn away from the truth and endanger his soul of spiritual death? If I turn him back, I've saved his soul from death. What if he wanders away and does not turn back? And one other verse. You have become estranged from Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and chapter 5 and verse 4. You've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Can a child of God become an unbeliever? Can a child of God endanger his soul of the second death? Can a child of God fall from grace to the law and to the testimonies? I want to ask you this. How difficult is that to understand? Oh, things in the Bible are so hard. Hard? What does that verse say? What do these verses teach? To the law and the testimonies. And when we are asked Bible questions, may we ever not go into our imaginations and not go into our feelings. And what do you think about this? And the discussion becomes, well, I just don't see. To the law and the testimonies. What does God say? And now we come to that part of our service where we'll be in a moment singing the invitation song that has to do with salvation. What do the law and the testimony, what does the Bible say about salvation? It says you need to believe in Him. That's what John 3:16 says. The verse, probably the best well-known verse in all of the Bible. John 3:16. But we're not justified by faith alone, for then you wouldn't have to repent. And yet Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. You can believe in Jesus and still be a child of the devil. But if you repent, you're going to turn away from living that way and being that kind of an individual. And then the law and the testimony says that you must confess Him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. If with your mouth you confess the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Have you done that? The law and the testimony say that if you do it, you'll be saved. And you need to be baptized. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. And then the most amazing thing happens. He adds us to that eternal church, to that body that He planned before the world began. And then He says to those of us who've done that, don't you quit. Don't you become lukewarm and don't you become indifferent. You be full of faith. That faith that you had in your heart that led you to obey the gospel, have that faith in your heart that causes you to live the gospel teachings.